for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now. That was Haris Alexiou starting off today's broadcast with Theos Anine. This is the Leologos Radio, the worldwide Greek radio program which airs on 20 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and today we are resuming our broadcasts after a short hiatus. On our program today, the Leologos interview series will feature an interview with Nikos Hatziandreou, the founder of the Acropolis of Athens online campaign, which is petitioning for the return of the Acropolis sculptures from the British Museum, where they are currently housed, to Greece. He will speak to us about the history and significance of the sculptures, about the legal and diplomatic disputes that exist, and the attempts to have the sculptures returned, and about his online campaign advocating for their return. This interview will be followed up by our Commentary of the Week segment, as well as some great Greek music. Coming up now is the Leologos interview series and our interview with Nikos Hatziandreou of the Acropolis of Athens online campaign. The Leologos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next here on Leologos Radio. Joining us today on the Alagos Radio in the Alagos interview series is Nikos Hadziandreou, the founder of the Acropolis of Athens online campaign for the return of the Acropolis sculptures from the British Museum to Greece. Nico, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
To get us started, share with us a few words about the campaign, how it got started, and its goals.
The campaign started in 2004 when I once went to the Acropolis, up to the monument, to visit it. And upon staring at the temple, the Parthenon, I realized that parts of it were empty. And I realized it was as if the temple was begging for attention and for justice to be delivered. And since then, I decided to start a website and present some basic information and material about the Acropolis and the case of its removed sculptures. So since 2004, I've been developing the website. Since 2011, I started to use social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. So today the platform is pretty successful, attracting a lot of visitors from around the world, as well as queries, from tourist queries to research queries.
Let's take a look at the history of this issue for those listeners who might not be familiar with the story. What exactly are the Acropolis sculptures and how did they end up in the British Museum in London?
The Parthenon sculptures are sculptures that were removed from the Parthenon on the Acropolis of Athens. However, these terms should be treated with caution because not only were sculptures from the Parthenon removed, but sculptures and architectural members from other temples of the Acropolis too. So today when we say the Parthenon sculptures, we mean, or we should mean, sculptures from the Parthenon, from the Erechtheion, and let me remind you of the Caryatid, which is the most iconic example, from the Propylaea, the monumental entrance to the Acropolis, as well as sculptures from the temple of Athena Nike at the entrance of the Acropolis. And for this reason, I think it would be more precise if we refer to all of these sculptures together as the Acropolis sculptures.
We are speaking with Nikos Hadziandreou of the Acropolis of Athens online campaign for the return of the Acropolis sculptures to Greece here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos interview series. What are some of the arguments that have traditionally been put forth by the British Museum and by those who support keeping the sculptures in Britain?
One of the arguments put forward by the British Museum for them to keep the sculptures in London is that the sculptures were acquired legally, and that is their acquisition from Lord Elgin in the 19th century. However, this is not true for reasons that I can explain later, but this is one of the arguments that they use. Moreover, unfortunately, the British Museum, as well as other museums in the world, in year 2000, they decided to change their branding strategy. And in order to get rid of the colonial colors that their establishment and collections have, they decided to launch themselves as universal museums. And I will use that phrase in quotation marks because it's simply a branding term and not a real term. So in this context, the British Museum today says that the sculptures should remain in London because they are part of a collection that showcases the history of the world in a museum for the world. However, let me make a comment here that no museum is a godsend institution to present pieces of the world to the world. The world is the Universal Museum, and no museum has the ethical right to remove pieces of heritage from different locations of the world and concentrate them in one city. Every city and every location is valuable. And when you travel to go and see a place, you would expect to be able to see the local heritage at that place.
That said, what are the counterpoints to the arguments made by the British Museum and its supporters? What are the arguments in favor of returning the Acropolis sculptures to Greece?
There are many dimensions to the issue, all of which support the return and reunification of the sculptures in Athens. First of all, it's a historical issue. The sculptures were created purposely to be in Athens and stand on the Acropolis, Today, of course, there is the museum that acts as a protective shell for the sculptures not to be worn out by the elements. The other dimension is the cultural dimension. It is unacceptable that in today's landscape of cultural values, as they dictate and define the framework within which museums and cultural resource managers work, it is unacceptable to have museums making the decision to keep monuments dismembered, fragmented, and not reuniting their physical dimension, and so not restoring their meaning. And thirdly, there is also the emotional aspect for Greece, or in any similar case, for any country, where you have people taking care of their cultural heritage and identifying with it and being proud of it to some extent. It's unacceptable to have another nation coming in, taking their heritage and displaying it somewhere else at an irrelevant place and trying to ascribe values that would overcome the values that the locals ascribe to the monument. And in this case, it is the fact that the Acropolis, its location, its context, its value as an archaeological site is universal. So we're talking about the British Museum doing something that severes values agreed upon by many different nations. It's not only something that goes against Greece, but something that goes against the world.
Last year, Greece's culture minister at the time, Nikos Xidakis, announced that Greece would not pursue the return of the Acropolis sculptures via the legal route. Recently, though, the current culture minister, Aristidis Baltas, expressed the willingness to seek support from the United Nations and the international community to pursue a legal challenge for the return of the sculptures. What are the pros and cons of a legal challenge, and what legal precedents exist which would support the Greek cause?
The pros of a legal challenge are that, contrary to the previous years when the Greek approach was purely diplomatic, Athens may now proceed to take a different action, to do something more drastic. In the context of the specific strategy explained by the minister, a legal action involving the UN, and so other countries, will also highlight that the issue is not only one that concerns Greece, but the whole world. The Acropolis is a piece of humanity's heritage, hence its recognition by UNESCO as a World Heritage Site. Having said that, there is nothing in life that is risk-free. Of course, the legal approach carries the risk of a negative outcome in court. In this case, as the advisors to the Greek government explained, that might arise due to technical legal issues rather than the main issue attempted to be solved. You asked me if I know of any precedents. I am personally not aware of any previous case similar to this one, the reason being that the case of the Parthenon sculptures regards not the repatriation of freestanding pieces of art, but the reunification of the parts of a monument. As such, this case could represent a precedent for the evaluation of other similar cases, and in that case it would be great to see justice being delivered for the restoration of the meaning of also other monuments that suffered the same treatment in the past. The point is not just to move one artifact from one place to another, but to restore world heritage in both its physical and conceptual dimensions.
From a diplomatic point of view, what are some of the actions being taken on the part of Greece to secure the return of the Acropolis sculptures?
There are ongoing efforts to secure the return of the sculptures. There has been a clear line, especially starting with the campaign launched by Melina Mercouri in the 70s. And there has been a constant effort by the Greek side to overturn the state of affairs in favor of the Greek side so that the sculptures are returned. However, the British establishment is strong and resistant to such efforts. And I do believe that there are ways in which Greece has tried and can try more in the future to kindly ask, if not put pressure on the British side to return the sculptures. Let me remind you the case of the UNESCO mediation, which is an instrument that was recently launched by UNESCO. And as soon as it became available, the Greek side used it. However, to no positive response by the British.
This is the Alagos Radio. We will return after a short break.
σκοτάδι απ' τα μάτια σου βαμμένο, χύμιξε κι απόψε να με βρει. Και έγινε το σπίτι ένα δάσος πετρωμένο, που μοιάζαν τα δέντρα του σταυροί. Έρημο τραγούδι από αίμα και από χιόνι, κλαίει στα παλιά μου τα χαρτιά. Όπως το φτωχό μου το κορμί που δεν παλιώνει, για να το πετάξω στη φωτιά. Ήσουνα φέγγαρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή. Ήσουνα φέγγαρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα ψηλά για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή. Κι από χιόνι κλαίει στα παλιά μου τα χαρτιά. Όπως το φτωχό μου το κορμί που δεν παλιώνει, για να το πετάξω στη φωτιά. Ήσουνα φέγγαρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή. Ήσουνα φέγγαρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα ψηλά για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή.
We now return to the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio. We are on the air with Nikos Hatziandreou of the Acropolis of Athens online campaign for the return of the Acropolis sculptures to Greece here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there are many fairly recent examples of other museums returning high-profile archaeological and historical artifacts to their country of origin. What are some of these examples?
Typically, items that have been returned to their source countries have been items that are independent artifacts. What I mean by that is that items that are not part of a monument or a structure, for example, freestanding sculptures or jewelry, ancient artifacts, have been returned typically to Italy. And these are items that were removed from the source country after 1970. The reason is that there is a legal framework that can deal with such cases. However, the problem is when it comes to artifacts before that date, and especially when it comes to artifacts taken from countries around the world in colonial times, and then when these artifacts were used to create collections that the big quotation mark diva museums used in Europe in order to create their prestigious galleries. And I'm saying prestigious with a hidden meaning, because unfortunately, I believe that this is a driving force that is keeping those artifacts in place today.
One argument that we have been hearing in Greece in recent years, during the years of the economic crisis, is that why should we worry about the return of the Acropolis sculptures when the country is dealing with so many other bigger problems? How do you respond to these arguments?
I believe that Greece is a country that has very valuable human resources. There are people who are dealing with the big problems that we all know. The crisis has severely affected Greece, primarily because of the size of its economy, as well as other reasons in the way that the country is set up and run. However, I believe that the fact that there are these problems today doesn't mean that there are other issues that should be all of a sudden neglected. I think it makes perfect sense that as there are people dealing with the economy or social welfare and so on, it is perfectly fine and expected that people will also deal with cultural issues, which includes the case of the return of the Parthenon sculptures. The integrity of the monument is something that is very important, and I do not see it as a luxury issue. I believe that the reunification of the Parthenon sculptures is something that can inspire people, not only in Greece, but around the world, as something that is linked with the delivery of justice. And for this reason, I think that even more now is the time to work for that and achieve it, because that would bring a lot of inspiration and hope to many people.
In closing, where can our listeners find out more information about your online campaign, including your petition for the return of the Acropolis sculptures to Greece?
You can find more information at acropolisofathens.gr, www.acropolisofathens.gr, where you can find links for the Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus pages, as well as a link for the petition for the return of the sculptures, where you are cordially invited to sign and thereby support the cause.
Well, Nico, thank you very much for joining us today here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series, and best of luck with all of your efforts and your continued campaign.
Thank you very much.
Attention iTunes users, the Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio.
Χρώματα άσπρα και ήλιο με του. αυτή μη τραπήθη λύρα τραγούδιου και αρμύρου φίλιου και έντιμα χρυσό πάνω σε κισό μια ελαδάχος μέτρα κι ουράνο.
Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. We just heard Costandina with Mia Dada Fos here on the Dialogos Radio, while earlier we heard Maria Dimitriadi with the song Isuna Fegari. We just wrapped up the Dialogos interview series for today's broadcast and our interview with Nikos Hadziandreou of the Acropolis of Athens online campaign. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, in the Dialogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, BlackBerry, and Chrome, in iTunes, TuneIn.com, and the Windows Store, and in Anobix Radio, WeCast, Player FM, Stitcher, and Podbean apps. Coming up is some more great Greek music, and in a few moments, the Dialogos Radio's commentary of the week.
Περπατήσω μοναχός κι αυτό το βράδυ. Μήπως και βρω της λησμονιάς σου το νερό και σε υπόγεια σκοτεινά θα βρω σημάδι. Με ένα ποτήριο στις αυγής το πανικό. Τσιγάρο τέλειο το βαρύ μοναξιά. Μοιάζει γυναίκα κουρασμένη από το δρόμο. Ρίχνει το γέλιο της και κάθεται κοντά μου. Κέρνα τα επόμενα και με χτυπάει στο νόμο. Τσιγάρο τέλειο το βαρύ μοναξιά. Μοιάζει γυναίκα κουρασμένη από το δρόμο. Ρίχνει το γέλιο της και κάθεται κοντά μου. Κέρνα τα επόμενα και με χτυπάει στο νόμο. Ένα ποτήρι με φυτίλι αναμένο. Βλέπω τα μάτια σου και κλαίω σιωπηλά. Και το μυαλό μου που είναι πάλι θολωμένο. κρύφο γυρνά των τραγουδιών σου τη θηλιά. Τσιγάρο τέλειο το βαρύ μοναξιά μου, μοιάζει γυναίκα κουρασμένη από το δρόμο, ρίχνει το γέλιο της και κάθεται κοντά. Κέρνα τα επόμενα και με χτυπάει στο νόμο. Τσιγάρα τέλειο το βαρύ μοναξιά μου, μοιάζει γυναίκα κουρασμένη από το δρόμο, ρίχνει το γέλιο της και κάθεται κοντά. Κέρνα τα επόμενα και με χτυπάει στο νόμο.
καρδιά σου δεν αντέχω την παλήρια. Έχεις μια ζωή κρυμμένη και μυστήρια. Παραβάν εγώ δεν θέλω για να κρύβομαι. Θα σ' αφήσω ένα βράδυ σου το ορκίζομαι. Πες τα λόγια τα μοιραία μια φορά. Να χορέψω στα πλακάκια από χαρά. Τα κορμιά μας ιδρωμένα σαν δυο καρβουνά αναμένα. Ας καούν στην ίδια μέσα τη φωτιά. Πες τα λόγια τα μοιραία μια φορά. Της καρδιά σου το ρεσάλτο το βαρέθηκα. Επιστρέφω τα φιλιά σου που ήταν ψεύτικα. Της γυναίκας η καρδιά έχει φιλότιμο. Και δεν είναι το κορμί της ερωτώσιμο. Πες τα λόγια τα μοιραία μια φορά. Να χορέψω στα πλακά χαρά. Τα κορμιά μας ιδρωμένα σαν δυο καρβουνά αναμένα. Ας καούν στην ίδια μέσα τη φωτιά. Πες τα λόγια τα μοιραία μια φορά.
Diálogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. We just heard Katerina Kuka here on the Diálogos Radio with Daloria Tamirea, Pedes en Taxi right before that with Yadiges Thagones Eftihias, and we started off that set with Socrates Madamas and Cigarro Ateyoto. Coming up now is the Diálogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Diálogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Diálogos Radio. Greece's supposedly leftist government of so-called hope and change did it again. It saved Greece once more. Greece can continue living the European nightmare, excuse me, dream, can remain part of the vaunted European family in the Eurozone, and a government once again successfully completed tough negotiations with its so-called European partners with a capital P, as Greece's submissive journalistic class tends to refer to them. Let's take a look at this new success story of Greece's government of hope and change. It is a success story so big that Greece's already insane value-added tax of 23% will be bumped up to 24% on June 1st. It is a success story so great that the unified property tax, which Syriza at one time called unconstitutional and illegal, and which at one time was said to be temporary, will now be raised and made permanent. It is a success story so tremendous that Greece's already paltry pension and social security payments will be slashed further, despite government lies and propaganda to the contrary. home foreclosures and auctions will resume without anything but the flimsiest of temporary protections for the poorest homeowners. These foreclosures and auctions will take place electronically instead of in a courthouse, under cover of darkness and without warning. In the meantime, new privatizations are coming alongside the development of a new superfund of sorts, which will manage essentially all of Greece's publicly owned assets and prepare them to be sold off at bargain basement prices. And unlike most of the people of Greece, the foreign investors who will be snatching up these assets know very well how valuable a land Greece is. Of course, all of these privatizations, foreclosures, auctions, as well as the bundling and selling of both prime and subprime loans, or have you heard that before, will be permitted without any transfer tax or any other taxes being levied. Because when we talk about tax evasion, we're supposed to only talk about the bad, lazy, spendthrift Greeks, but never the good, civilized foreign saviors in suits. And of course, this was agreed to following those aforementioned tough negotiations between the Greek government of hope and change and the lenders. This result had also been predicted months in advance by economist, analyst, and member of Greece's United Popular Front, Dimitris Karousos, but was of course ignored by the international media and of course by the trashy, biased English language editions of Greece's media outlets. So what if people's homes are foreclosed and thousands of households are thrown out onto the streets? So what if heating oil and gas, already insanely taxed, are taxed some more along with basic goods and staples through direct and indirect taxation? Who cares if the self-employed and small and mid-sized businesses will be absolutely slaughtered as a result of these new measures that were voted into law and the avalanche of taxes that they will face? Who cares if there is now zero chance of the minimum wage to be restored to the still low pre-crisis levels, which at one time the city's a government of supposed hope and change had promised? And of course, all of this does not even take into account the automatic cuts that will be implemented if Greece does not meet the strict fiscal targets imposed by its so-called saviors. Who cares about all of this? We are talking about a success story here. Of course, it's a success story for the lenders, but not for Greece or for the Greek people. But the European dream is what everyone wanted, right? So here it is. Enjoy it. And since we are talking about what is surely such a huge, unprecedented success, that must explain why the otherwise revolutionary and radical and non-gullible and oh-so-clever Greek people did not take to the streets. After all, Greece remained in Europe, remained in the euro. People still have cheese from Holland for their sandwiches, if they can afford the 24% tax, that is. So everything is A-OK, right? That must explain why Greece's notaries called off their strike protesting the new insurance and pension bill as soon as that very bill was passed, allowing home foreclosures and auctions to resume. That must also explain why Greece's lawyers, with their own protracted strike, have inconvenienced ordinary Greek people whose cases have in some cases been postponed for years. Instead of using their legal knowledge to mobilize the population and protest austerity both old and new. Ah, but I forgot. We had the usual round of stale, old, 3 and 4 and 24 hour so-called work stoppages, all of which of course left enough time for Greece's labor leaders, with quotations absolutely necessary, to hit up their favorite tavernas and cafes to wine and dine. Work stoppages which have been going on for decades and decades and which not once have made the slightest bit of impact other than inconveniencing people's lives, which might very well be their real objective instead of any actual change. For instance, we had the workers on the Athens Metro declare a work stoppage beginning at 9 p.m. on the night the new measures were to be voted into law. This was enough to discourage many people from coming out to the protest, not knowing if they'd have a way to return home. With a low turnout of protesters assured, the work stoppage was then lifted at the last minute, just in time for the usual mass exodus from Syntagma Square, once the usual dog and pony show between the paid agent provocateurs and the riot police, which Syriza was at one time going to abolish, was underway. We of course also had the journalists' strike as well, which of course just coincidentally happened to fall in the days of final debate before the new measures were to be voted upon by Parliament. Of course, the truth here is that even if there was no strike, there would still have been no actual journalism taking place from these so-called journalists and from the media outlets they work for. But just try explaining that to grandma and grandpa in the village and to Greece's suburban neoliberal class, who still actually think they are being informed by the newscasts that they watch. All of this is okay though, because there is hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We have the savior, Yanis Varoufakis, with his stylish pink t-shirts and his so-called guerrilla interviews. That is, when he isn't making spontaneous, quotations again necessary, appearances at the protests taking place in France or signing autographs in Spain. The same heroic Varoufakis who said that the Greek debt would be repaid in perpetuity, who pillaged the Greek public sector's cash reserves to pay that debt back to the IMF, who imposed capital controls, and who agreed to more austerity and who voted for Greece's corrupt pro-austerity president Prokopis Pavlopoulos. The same heroic Varoufakis is now touting the catastrophic idea of a parallel or dual currency system for Greece as a solution, while millions of minions lap up his every word. He is joined by the heroic Zoe Kostandopoulou, who also knew how to vote yes to everything when she was a part of the Syriza government last year, and who continued publicly supporting the government even after it sold out the referendum result of July 5th. She too is touting the catastrophic parallel or dual currency solution for Greece, as are fascists such as the far-right Yorgos Karatzaferis and Sir, quotations necessary once more, Basil Marquezinis, son of a junta prime minister, both of whom have been resurrected from the political graveyard recently. So since Greece has been saved, has remained in Europe in the vaunted Eurozone, and since there are even more saviors in the pipeline who will continue to save Greece well into the future, why bother protesting? The couch is nice and comfortable, is it not? And it's easier to let the television do the thinking for you lest you hurt your head. The same television which includes public broadcaster ERT, which is now paying private, oligarch-owned network provider Digia to transmit its signal digitally, a company owned by the same oligarchs that the oh-so-leftist Syriza government claims it is going to take down, the same government which will supposedly take down these oligarchs by auctioning off a limited number of television licenses to the highest bidder and the deepest pockets, while Greece's smaller, independent, local television stations are dying off, unable to afford to pay Digia exorbitant amounts to carry their signal. This is the same government which, unconstitutionally and in violation of European law, has shut down Greece's National Radio Television Committee, leaving the broadcasting landscape entirely unregulated. This is the government which claims it is restoring order to the airwaves, and there are still people who slurp up this propaganda. Of course, television in Greece knows all about telling people horror stories from countries like Venezuela, while telling people that the so-called leftist Alexis Tsipras wants to turn Greece just like Venezuela. What they won't say, of course, is that Venezuela is the victim of both international economic warfare through the sharp decline in oil prices, as well as a victim of its own domestic oligarchs and cartels, who are hoarding goods to create severe market shortages in order to undermine the country's government. What the media in Greece are also not saying is that many of these horror stories also exist in Greece today as well, in a country that is supposedly being bailed out and saved day after day by its so-called European friends and partners. What these media outlets in Greece know how to say is that Portugal, Ireland, and Cyprus are supposed success stories for concluding their own memorandum agreements. What is not said is that the end of the memorandum agreements has not meant the end of harsh austerity, the end of record numbers of home foreclosures and evictions, or the end of mass migration out of these countries. And while all of this is happening, I hear many in Greece moaning and groaning about why can't we be more like the French, who we are told are out on the streets in massive numbers to protest their own anti-labor bills. However, few people, if anything, to ask, how were these supposedly spontaneous demonstrations actually organized, with blogs and websites and hashtags and public assemblies? We saw the savior of not just Greece, but apparently the whole world, Yanis Varoufakis, speak to the protesters in France. Who invited him? Who assured his security? Who paid for his travel and lodging? How did this speech get organized in the first place, logistically and otherwise? And how did these supposedly spontaneous demonstrations, spontaneously as we are supposed to believe, spread to 55 cities in Greece and dozens more in Europe, all on the same day and at the same time? Are we supposed to believe that after such a long period of inactivity and hibernation that everyone suddenly decided that they had enough? And in the meantime, what people in Greece are blissfully unaware of is that while they are whining about their own inactivity, the rest of the world mistakenly believes that it is the Greeks who are the ones fighting back while they are the ones staying inactive. Doesn't anybody have even the slightest curiosity as to how these perceptions are developed and maintained, and by who? The answer is that no, most people do not question such things. Instead, in Greece at least, they run off to again vote for the criminals and professional liars like those in Syriza, while others, through their abstention from the polls, essentially legitimize the victors in this electoral process instead of giving their votes to the dozens of smaller parties and movements which are struggling to exist. Those same people might participate in yet another lame 3 or 4 hour work stoppage, or might take a walk down to the center of Athens to protest by standing around and drinking beer before running home to catch Greece's talking heads on TV again. That's Greece, and that's the majority of the Greek populace today. Follow Diálogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/Diálogos Media and at twitter.com/Diálogos Media. We just wrapped up the commentary of the week here on Diálogos Radio. Coming up is some more great Greek music, plus in a few moments, an announcement of the major special guest that we have coming up on our next broadcast.
Περπατήσια, εσύ ποτέ δεν είχες, ούτε στα χέρια κράταγες των αλωνών τις τυχές, ούτε στα χέρια κράταγες των αλωνών τις τυχές. Σπερδικά στη φορέσια, στον ήλιο δεν φορούσες, στον ουρανό περίσσευες, στα μάτια μου χωρούσες, στον ουρανό περίσσευες, στα μάτια μου χωρούσες. Δίκη σου είχες φορέσια και σιγανή πατημάσια. Δίκη σου είχες φορέσια και σιγανή πατημάσια. Εσύ περνούσες τα πείνα και σιγανά πατούσες στα χέρια τα παντότινα, την τύχη μου κρατούσες στα χέρια τα παντότινα, την τύχη μου κρατούσες. Δίκη σου είχες φορέσια και σιγανή πατημάσια. Δίκη σου είχες φορέσια και σιγανή πατημάσια. Δίκη σου είχες φορέσια και σιγανή πατημασιά.
TheAlagosMedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from The Alagos Radio, live streaming of The Alagos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at TheAlagosMedia.org. This is the Alagos Radio, where we just heard Pandelista Lasinos with Hiperédica. Today's broadcast is just about ready to come to a close, but on our upcoming broadcast, we will feature a major interview with a very special guest, with New York Times bestselling author, investigative journalist, economist, and friend of the Alagos Radio, Greg Palast, who will speak to us about his latest crowdfunded film project on the presidential elections in the United States and the election fraud that is taking place, about what is happening in Latin America and in countries such as Argentina, Brazil, Venezuela, and in Puerto Rico, and about the latest economic and political developments in Greece and his thoughts on the latest austerity measures and cuts passed by the Syriza-led government. All this and much more is coming up on the next broadcast of the Alagos Radio, so be sure not to miss it. We will wrap up today's broadcast with one final song, with Stefanos Korkolis singing Laterna. Thank you for joining us once again this week on the Alagos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
Σου τα μπλε ληστεύουν την καρδιά μου. Χάνομαι μαζί σου κι είναι το κορμί σου. Κυριακή γεμάτη χρώματα. Λούνα πάρκο δρόμος και ο ταχυδρόμος φέρνει κόκκινα φιλιά στα πρώτα γράμματά μου. Κάπου μια λατέρνα παίζει με ένα κέρμα όλα τα τραγούδια του ερώτα. Βρε καρδούλα μου, αφροκούλα μου, στην αγκαλιά σου θέλω να καθώ. Μίλα μου, γέλα μου, χαμογέλα μου, μαζί σου στο όνειρο να ξεχαστώ. Αχ, βρε καρδούλα μου, αφροκούλα μου, στην αγκαλιά σου θέλω να χαθώ. Μίλα μου, γέλα μου, χαμογέλα μου, μαζί σου στο όνειρο να ξεχαστώ. Καλό κεράκι σαν το αλυτάκι μπήκε πάλι στα κλεφτά και τρέχει με μανία. Το όνειρο φλερτάρει, το τρέλο φεγγάρι και η νύχτα στάζει μαλάμα. Μόνο με ένα βλέμμα σβήνεις κάθε ψέμα κι όλα μοιάζουν μαγικά σαν μια φωτογραφία. Τέρια στα ζευγάρια, ζηλιές και φεγγάρια, βόλτες, έρωτες και μαλώμα. Βρε καρδούλα μου, αχ βροχούλα μου, στην αγκαλιά σου θέλω να χαθώ.